today on Real Radio.
You belong to me. There's not a person on the planet that doesn't want to hear that. You want that kind of relationship as long as it's a good one. That's the problem. People do not have relationships anymore. I thought this person was created by God to make me happy. Wrong. That is wrong. I want to marry them because they'll make me happy for the rest of my life. Nobody can do that. Only God can do that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry regarding Israel can be divided into two specific revelations from God. From Isaiah chapter 39 through the end of the book, the theme changes. The second half now reveals to us the wonderful blessings and fulfillments of God's promises to the Jews and to the land of Israel during what's called the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. In Isaiah chapter 42, we learned that God's man for the ages is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. When he came to the earth as a baby, he was 100% God, who also became 100% man. Jesus was God revealed in the flesh, who came to the world to bring us salvation. We were also reminded that Jesus is eternal. He has always existed, and if he can speak creation into existence and give breath to its people, he can surely free us from the bondage of sin and death. So today, on day two of chapters 42 and 43, Pastor Jack tells us that Israel turned a blind eye to the Lord. They didn't consider the Lord's warning or listen to him at all when the Lord said other nations will come to destroy them if they don't refuse to walk in obedience to God's word. But now Isaiah tells them that the Lord is merciful and will save them, even though they did it to themselves when they sinned against him. And now, continuing in his lesson called Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 25, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel," watch everyone, "until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." Hold, stop right there. Number one, I want two things I have to share with you. Number one, the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians, Paul's letter to the Corinthian believers in Greece, that Satan has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. That is 100% true, except for one people group. Satan does not blind, he's not allowed to blind, a certain people group, because someone else has already blinded them. Look at the verse. God has put a veil over them. Did you know that? Only the Jew. God blinds the Jew, not Satan. Satan blinds the Gentile world. Isn't that interesting? For his purposes, based on his sovereignty, based on what he's doing, he puts a veil. He has put a veil. Now, you and I know Jews who have come to Jesus. Marty Goetz, Amir Serfati, others I know, as you do. There's a remnant. That number's going to increase as time goes on. But know this, isn't that interesting? And for what's the other reason? Or what's the other point? Until the fullness of the Gentiles is come in. What does that mean? This is creepy awesome. There is a number that God knows of in this church age, in these last 2,000 years, there is a number that God knows of, only to God, of Gentile believers that make up the church, and that when that last person, fullness, that's what it means, the last number, the last count, when that last number makes a decision for Christ, that last person, then that number is done. When that happens, then God refocuses on the Jewish people. By the way, it's called the 7-year tribulation period. And the church number is done. Only God knows this. Isn't it amazing? How close are we? You know, it's kind of like watching the debt clock in New York, where the debt of the dollar, the U.S. economy. Imagine if there's a number. Is it in heaven? Is it like going, shh, you know? And then there's going to be a day when the last Gentile gets saved. What's going to happen? I don't know, but it's going to be exciting. I hope personally the rapture happens. The day the last guy says, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And all of a sudden, trumpet blast, we're on our way up to heaven. And that guy's probably going to say, man, I should have did this sooner. Verse 26, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. We're reading a 2,000-year-old declaration from Paul the Apostle, who's quoting a 1,000-year document. We're looking 3,000 years ago now, when that verse, or that quote, the deliverer, that's the Messiah, will come out of Zion. That has been written for over 3,000 years. Think about that. And he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. What's Jacob? Anybody? Israel. Another name for Israel. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. This is God's word to the Jewish people. We see the Lord's passion for his people in his own word. And so if you look at verse 16, there at the end, he says, I will not forsake them. Now, I want you to, again, keep these notes going. Jesus confirmed exactly what Isaiah is talking about. You're going to be chastised, you're going to be disciplined because you didn't recognize me or you didn't obey me, you didn't follow me, but I'm going to keep my covenant with you. Jesus confirmed that himself. Bible scholars, again, write these verses down because it's answers to the event. Again, look to the screen or look in your Bibles. Matthew 23, beginning at verse 37. Matthew 23, beginning at verse 37. The Mount of Olives, Jesus is on the Mount of Olives with a grand multitude of people. Many of us have been on this very road, this path that has been preserved for thousands of years. It's an ancient path even before Christ came down that roadway. The Bible says he began to speak out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together. Notice who's speaking, it's Jesus. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. What's the indictment? But you were not willing. That's the crime, by the way. I hope it's not your crime that you're not willing. Jesus says, I wanted to do all this, but you weren't willing. You know what's amazing about this God of ours? He never forces you to do anything. Isn't that awesome? I mean, there's religions running around out there. Remember when we were little kids? Did you guys ever play this in modern age? I mean, I don't know, but when I was young, we used to run around and remember you grab somebody's arm and bend it in their back and say uncle. I don't know where that came from, but you remember what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Who invented that? That's weird, but you bend your friend's arm and you like almost break it. Say uncle. Uncle, okay, it's over. Whatever. There's religions like that. Repeat this. I don't want to repeat it. Or we'll beat you up or cut your head off or burn you alive. Repeat it. Say this. Isn't it nuts? Think about that for a second. There's no meaning in it. God's not like that. He's not a spiritual rapist. He doesn't force himself on you. If you don't want him, you don't have to have him. Think of that. He's amazing. Amazing. Verse 38, see or behold your house. He must have moved his arms or pointed to the Temple Mount right there opposite the Kidron Valley. Your house, he cries out, is left to you desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, and this is amazing, this is Jesus speaking, Jesus with sandals and skin. Know what he says. Every Jew that would have heard this would have went, because he puts himself in the place of God. Why? Because he was. He says, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Capital, you know, you guys are experts now. What does capital L-O-R-D mean? Yahweh. That's the name of God. He is announcing himself to be Yahweh. Right there. And he's speaking it to the nation of Israel. Watch everybody say, no, I don't get it. Get this. You're in trouble. I sent prophets to you. You stoned them. You wouldn't be willing enough to follow me. And you know what? Now your house has left you. Whatever you do in worship, it's all going to be fake from here on out because you've rejected me. And oh, by the way, you won't see me again until you willingly say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Do you hear that statement? He's saying, it's all falling apart for you because you weren't willing. I'm going to die in a week across town over there at Mount Moriah. At Golgotha, the place of the skull. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'll be resurrected. I'll be back. That's what he's saying right there. The next time you see me, you're going to say, please come. Wow. That's your Bible. Jesus is agreeing with Isaiah. The condemnation goes on. Verse 17, though, he speaks forth the condemnation of the worshiping worldly pagans, they, not Israel, they shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed who trust in carved images, who say to the molten images, you are our gods. Verse 18. Now listen, this is awesome. Hear you deaf and look you blind that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, Israel? Or deaf as my messenger, again, Israel, whom I send? Who is blind as he who is perfect and blind as the Lord's servants? Verse 20, seeing many things, but you, this is Israel, do not observe. Opening the eyes, but he does not hear or does not see, hear or hear. He's not listening. You're not watching. You're not observing. He holds them accountable. Verse 21, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law and make it honorable. But this is a people, Israel, robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers for plunder, and no one says restore. In other words, because you've rejected me, Israel, the nations of the world are going to eat you alive. Is that not Israel's history throughout the millennia? Notice the Lord's mercy. In his correction, there's mercy. Verse 24, who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Listen, everybody. God is saying, I'm the one that gave you to the plunderers. I'm the one that gave you to the robbers. Was it not I, the Lord? He against whom we have sinned. Isaiah speaks that. For they would not walk in his ways, nor were they obedient to his law. Therefore, he has poured on him, that is Israel, the fury of his anger and the strength of the battle. He has set him on fire all around, yet he, this is Israel, did not know. And it burned him, yet he, Israel, did not take it to heart. Say, Jack, how does this relate to me? Well, watch what happens. Remember, there's no chapter breaks in the Bible. That was put in for us, these chapter breaks are by publishers, frankly. Are you ready? Look at chapter 43, verse 1. Two words should cause your heart to float. But now. You see that in your Bibles? But now. All of that, but now. Where are you tonight? Oh, it's been such a hard road. It's been such a difficult life. It's been this way. It's been that way. I've had all this experience. Okay, but now. What's it going to be now for you? What are you going to decide now? But now, God wants to say that to you tonight, but now. It doesn't have to be some big event. It can be internal. Where are you internal? Listen, on the outside, externally, everything could be going fine, and all that's dandy, you know? But inside, you know, your heart maybe is heavy. Things are like, you can't explain it. Maybe there's a dark cloud over you, or you're kind of in a place of doubt or fear. What do you think? How are they feeling? Granted, a lot of their suffering, of course, if not all, self-imposed, self-inflicted by disobedience to God. But him saying, I'll never forsake you. But there had to be great lamentation. When you're not walking with the Lord and things are going rough in life, You say, man, why did God do this to me? How often do you hear that? Why did God do this to me? Well, I can't answer that, but maybe you can. You want to be very careful. You know, I just told you on Sunday that I want you to live a reckless life. We should live a reckless life for Jesus. And on the exact same side, when God tells us what to do, we should be reckless. And when he hasn't told us what to do, we should be very cautious. You don't want to do what some people do. Maybe it's human nature to do this, but it's like, well, I'll just do it and ask for forgiveness later. You don't want to do that because it can hurt you. He says, but now, verse 1, thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Can you imagine being in Babylon and you hear, or being taken captive and you hear this? God speaks prophetically to you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I mean, that's what you want your lover to speak to you. That's what you want your husband or your wife or your fiance or your lover to speak to you. I love you. You're mine. I know women don't want to hear that in the 21st century these days. I'm my own woman. I don't need to be owned by anybody. Listen. Political correctness knows nothing about human nature. When a woman finds a good man and a man finds a good woman, there's a relationship that God has created, and he just scoops her up and loves on her and treats her like a queen. And that's what it's being talked about being his. God is saying, you're mine. In a normal world, a woman would love to hear from a loving man toward her for him to say, you're mine. You belong to me. There's not a person on the planet that doesn't want to hear that. You want that kind of relationship as long as it's a good one. That's the problem. People do not have relationships anymore. I thought this person was created by God to make me happy. Wrong. That is wrong. I want to marry them because they'll make me happy for the rest of my life. Nobody can do that. Only God can do that. That person was brought into your life for you to serve them. Right? Wives, you should have said, amen, hallelujah to that. You should go home tonight. All husbands should go home tonight and wash your wife's feet. Right? That's what I'm talking about. Isn't it amazing God speaks like this to us? You're mine. It's like, I like that. Don't you want to have God wrap you up and say, you're mine? I'm not going to say nothing, but Yes, Lord. When you pass, ladies and gentlemen, church family, mark it down in your Bibles. When you pass, what? Through. Circle the word through. The waters, I will be with you. And what's the word? Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk, what's the word? Through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. You ought to circle the word through. You want to know why? Watch. Look, verse 2. When you pass and stay in the water. Oh, no. Through. When you get into the river and you're stuck there. Nope. It says through. When you're in the fire, you're going to stand in it and stay there? Nope. Through. Keep walking. I think it's Winston Churchill that said, if you find yourself in hell, just keep walking. Think about it. If you find yourself in hell, if your situation is impossible, just keep walking because you'll eventually get out of it. Hey, didn't the Bible say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's walking, and it's a shadow. Think of that. Just keep walking. Through. You shall not be burned. You're not going to have the scorching flame come upon you. Look at verse 3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God says he would call his people back home in the last days from what is called the diaspora, And you ought to mark verse 3. If you're a skeptic tonight, you ought to mark verse 3 and ask yourself this question. Did God ever do this? Did God ever do this to the Jewish people? If you pursue the answer to that question, you've got to become a believer. You've got to say what Frederick of Prussia said. There's one word that proves the existence of God and the validity of the Bible. It's Israel. Proof enough. You just got to ask yourself, look, you don't have to be an Einstein. Has God proven himself faithful to be the Savior of Israel? Look at verse 3 again toward the end and all the way down to verse 5. I gave Egypt for your ransom. This is God. I like to put it this way. This is God boasting about his love for his people. I gave Egypt for your ransom. Listen to this defense. Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. Isn't it amazing? God moves nations. God will even sacrifice nations for his people. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored. Wait, come on. They've caused him nothing but grief. And God says, I love them. Wouldn't we say, okay, come on, really? Look, don't argue with him. If he can love them, he can love us. He goes on. I have loved you, therefore I will give men for you. That's an amazing statement. Men will die in battle. Nations will war against nations. Men will die. That's how much I love you. And people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. That's okay, that's a big deal, but it's not super big deal. He's done that before. Verse 6, I will say to the north, give them up. It's a strong military term, by the way. I will command the north. Oh, this is getting interesting then. I will command the north, give them up. And to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. What? That's never happened before. From all the world? We're looking into the future.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today, and isn't it good to know that God is a forgiving God? And just like Israel, even if you've been walking in sin and rebellion, turn back to the Lord. He will restore you too. Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, it's amazing just how much the Lord protects us. When we choose to follow Christ, our future is secure in heaven with him. That's why it's so important to spend time in the Word, to pray, and to just listen to what the Lord wants to say to us. Devotional time is one way that we can do this. That's why Pastor Jack has written a new devotional for us each week, and they're available at the website reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Simply click on the Devotions tab and see how Pastor Jack takes a verse from the Bible and makes it personal, something that we can prayerfully read and apply to our daily lives. Pastor Jack's also made available his previous devotions, so there are plenty to choose from for every day of the week if you'd like. So head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Click on that Devotions tab to help you spend quality time with the Lord. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call, 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.